produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Welcome back to the second half of the Health First Radio Show. This afternoon, we have Fiona McCullough on. She is a naturopathic physician and an acupuncturist and the founder of White Lotus Integrative Medicine, a busy women's health clinic in Toronto that specializes in the treatment of PCOS, women's health concerns, autoimmunity, and thyroid disease. Welcome, Dr. Fiona.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Oh, it's wonderful. So can you tell us what PCOS is?
Sure, absolutely. So PCOS stands for polycystic ovary syndrome, and it's the most common hormonal condition in women of reproductive age. So it affects 10 to 15% of women. And it has a few different factors involved with it. So although it's called polycystic ovary syndrome, it's really much more than just about cysts on the ovaries. It's actually a hormonal imbalance that also involves metabolic dysfunctions, such as insulin resistance, weight gain, and risks for type 2 diabetes. It also can stop ovulation in women and cause infertility.
Okay, what is the plan for people with PCOS? What do you walk them through?
So in our clinic, we really view PCOS as a condition which involves a lot of insulin resistance, and actually this is quite well researched. We know that women with PCOS, much of their hormonal imbalances is triggered actually by insulin resistance. And so knowing that, it also responds really well to nutrition and exercise. So we tend to help women find a nutritional plan that works best to keep their insulin levels under control after they eat, and also exercise and lifestyle changes. And we also do prescribe some supplements as well.
Okay. So what are the five key facts about PCOS that you would like the public to know?
So I would say the most important things to know about PCOS, number one is that we often have been taught about it as being an infertility type of condition, but actually it continues on through a woman's entire lifespan past menopause, and women who have PCOS, they actually end up having really high risks of cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes compared to other women. So it's a lifelong condition, and there's even markers of it that start in childhood. So it's so much more than fertility. The second thing that's really important to know about PCOS is that 50% of women don't know that they have it. So because it's so common, it's really important to kind of assess yourself and know that the symptoms can actually change throughout the lifespan. So the common symptoms are far apart menstrual cycles, signs of increased testosterone, so hair growth on the face or hair loss or acne. And then the other one would be the polycystic ovaries and ultrasound. So, always if you want to have a look at these symptoms and go and get assessed if you're having any of these, always bring up PCOS because it can vary depending on how old you are.
Okay. Would naturopaths look at it the same way as allopathic physicians if you were going in and asking about PCOS?
There is some overlap in that actually allopathic physicians do recognize that nutrition and exercise is very effective for PCOS, given that weight loss really improves the condition. Typically in conventional medicine, the most commonly used treatments are birth control pills, and that's because they do help regulate the cycles. But obviously they won't help with fertility issues. They don't help with insulin resistance, so they can actually cause weight gain. The other treatment that is used in conventional medicine is typically metformin, which is actually a type 2 diabetes medication. So a lot of doctors actually in conventional medicine will also refer their patients to a dietitian or a naturopath for nutritional counseling along with those therapies.
Okay. What do you get out of helping women with PCOS? What do you see in their treatments? Does it take long to make shifts and changes?
Actually, most women respond very, very well because the nutritional plans that we use actually are based on the insulin index of food, so understanding the metrics of how much when you eat a certain food, how much your insulin will go up in your body. And the high levels of insulin are really what trigger a lot of the symptoms. So when we're able to really control that and teach women how to eat, many of them actually respond fairly quickly and also may be able to lose weight more easily than they've been able to with other kind of more conventional caloric-based nutritional plans.
So can you basically balance the hormones and put this in remission, or do you always have to kind of have this overlying PCOS over you?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So basically, you can reverse the symptoms of it, so it can appear that you don't have it. However, compared to another person, if the woman with PCOS was eating, a certain amount of sugar and another person ate that same amount of sugar, the woman with PCOS would always make more insulin and would always have a predisposition to being insulin resistant, even throughout the lifespan after the symptoms are reversed. So really it's a lifelong type of lifestyle change that you have to make and keep up throughout your life.
Okay. At the beginning, you were saying that even very young women, you can notice symptoms of. What would be some of the first symptoms you'd notice?
So interestingly, in young girls, what they found is that they actually secrete less of a hormone called adiponectin, which is actually a hormone that comes out of our fat cells. And women who later develop PCOS secrete lower amounts of that hormone, and that hormone is actually very beneficial for our metabolism. So what you often will see sometimes is gaining weight more easily than other children. And then in some girls as well, they may have the onset of puberty either late or early. So those are symptoms that you'll tend to see. And then the other thing is gaining weight more around the abdominal area. Compared to their friends. So these are some of the symptoms you'll see in childhood. A lot of the symptoms you may not actually be able to see visually, but, if you were able to test these girls, you would be able to see some of these hormonal markers. But a lot of the symptoms become apparent at puberty and after puberty.
Okay. Do probiotics play a role in helping with PCOS?
They can. Probiotics are the microbiome in women with PCOS, or the type of flora that live in the gut, are actually different than they are in women without the condition. And this really relates to the metabolic effects of the microbiome. So the microbiome is more similar to that of somebody who would be more obese or insulin resistant. So there is some evidence that using probiotics can influence the microbiome and provide metabolic benefits. The other thing to consider, though, is that a lot of the microbiome changes from what we eat. So when we eat certain foods, the types of bacteria that those foods feed tend to be different and tend to promote, if we're eating healthy foods, whole foods, and lots of vegetable fibers, that's going to promote a microbiome that's actually metabolically healthy for us. So there's two ways to look at that.
Okay. So Dr. Fiona, what kind of supplements or natural treatments would you use on the PCOS?
So there's some really great evidence-based natural treatments for PCOS with a lot of research, actually. So one of the most well-researched supplements is inositol. So inositol, it used to be categorized as a B vitamin, but now it's kind of in its own category. And inositol is the second messenger for insulin inside our cells. So our cells actually use inositol to take the messages from insulin, and it's been found that women with PCOS are actually quite deficient in inositol. And so it's quite interesting when we've done some research on inositol and women with PCOS, it's been found that it improves insulin sensitivity, it can improve ovulation rates and lower the high levels of testosterone that you'll see in the condition. And so it's also been used, in fertility treatments for women with PCOS as well. And
it's also very calming, isn't it? Would it make them feel better?
It is very calming too, yeah. So it also has second messenger effects in the brain. So it is very calming as well.
Oh. What else would you use? That's wonderful. Inositol.
Yeah, inositol. And just one thing I wanted to say is that there's two types of inositol. So there's myo-inositol and D-chiro-inositol. And some of the newer research has found that taking the inositol in the ratio that's in our bodies, which is 40-1, tends to be the best for women with PCOS. But even just myo-inositol, which is the most common form, is very helpful.
Okay, and you can just find that at your health food store?
Yeah, it's very easy to find, and usually it comes in a powder form because you have to take quite a large dose of it. Usually it's about 3 grams a day of myo-inositol, so it's often easiest to take that in a scoop and drink it in water.
Okay, is there any side effects to it?
So with inositol, it's actually very well tolerated. The one side effect that some people do notice is a little bit of a loose stool when they first start it, and they often get accustomed to it after a while. So sometimes you can start at a lower amount and then increase it to your tolerance.
Okay. Is there any other natural treatments that work really well for PCOS?
Yeah, absolutely. So another one of the supplements that's been researched actually most quite recently, another major study came out on this, is resveratrol. So resveratrol is an antioxidant, and it's what's found in red grapes. So in red wine, but it's the actual antioxidant. So, of course, you're going to be getting a lot more when you're looking at taking a supplement of resveratrol. But resveratrol has been found to actually lower the testosterone levels and decrease the inflammation that we see in PCOS. So PCOS, there's a lot of what we call metabolic inflammation, and resveratrol can help quite a bit with that.
Okay, but the red wine straight up probably isn't quite so good for PCOS.
Probably not. Just to get the right amount of resveratrol, you'd have to drink quite a bit.
Okay. Anything else really good for it?
Yeah, so there's N-acetylcysteine, which is another antioxidant, and this has been studied quite a bit for PCOS also. N-acetylcysteine can improve insulin sensitivity, and it can lower testosterone levels and increase ovulation rates. So it's just a protector, and it protects the cells in the body from oxidative stress. And in PCOS, there's a lot of oxidative stress, particularly in the ovaries, and this is what causes a lot of the ovulatory issues. So it kind of gets at that underlying cause, you know, in that it helps prevent some of the inflammatory effects that trigger the insulin resistance and the ovulatory issues.
Okay. We're going to have to take a quick break, Dr. Fiona, but when we come back, we're going to be talking to Dr. Fiona about PCOS.